Thank you. Nice to see you. Happy New Year, etc., etc. So we're going to do the new series. We're calling this series Only Human, and it is looking essentially at all sorts of kind of issues and problems and difficulties that we face in our life just as a result of being people, of being the kind of finite individuals we are. And hopefully we're going to see how a connection of faith in a real, infinite, eternal God makes a difference for us in how we handle these situations. It's going to cover stuff such as how do we find it when it's difficult with money and relationships and health and all sorts of things like that. Today's one is a general catch-all one. So if you only listen to one message in the whole series, A, where are you for the rest of it? But B, this is the one to listen to. This gives you the umbrella thing that everything is going to look at in more detail. And it's called I Can't Cope. This is when we run out of resources. I don't even really need to spell out what the idea of I can't cope means. It's when we find I haven't got enough energy, I haven't got enough time, I haven't got enough willpower. I can't face it, I can't do it, I can't even think about it. I can't cope moments vary depending on your personality type, probably. Some people are, good for you, are really, really resilient, strong people, and you have the occasional moment where you feel a bit, oof. But usually the ship is pretty steady and everything's good, and you kind of crack on in life. Other people, they're more frequent, these kind of I can't cope moments happen more often in your life and feel stronger and harder to deal with, and you often feel, I'm overwhelmed by this situation, I don't know what to do, I can't handle it, and it's a regular occurrence. Some people genuinely live in a near permanent state of panic, and you may be one of these people that find constantly you're feeling, oh, not again, I can't handle this, why is life like this, and you are battling on against it. What I want to do is talk about today one of the things the Bible says about how we react when we feel I can't cope, and it is applicable to you wherever you are on that scale. If you have the odd wobbly moment where you feel I can't cope, the medicine is exactly the same as if you're someone who is in this near permanent state of stress and feeling like you're going under in life. I rarely talk about very personal things when I'm up here, partly because I'm not that kind of person and partly because people often find it tedious. But the reality for me is, because of my health issues that many of you know about, I live almost permanently and I can't cope. I am not standing here today as the kind of super competent guy dishing out some advice to the people who can't manage life. I'm standing here today saying my daily experience is I spend a lot of my time thinking I cannot cope with what I've got to do today. I can't face it. I can't do it, I can't deal with it, I can't get through it. So this is not theory that I'm kind of dishing out. This is lived practical experience, which does help me, and I hope it's going to help you. So that's where we're going to go. Let's read Psalm 46, which is one of the many places we go to when we feel I can't cope. So it starts with a little bit. These little bits are part of the biblical text, they're part of the original Hebrew text, the bits that go for the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. It's just a kind of introductory thing, but it's part of the Bible text. It's not like the bits that people put in other passages saying, ooh, Jesus walks on water, where there are introductions. It's part of what is the inspired word of God. But he goes on to say, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and its mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I'm basically going to ask four questions today. First one, what is Psalm 46 all about? What is really going on here? The key thing we want to see from this is an expression of confidence and trust in God when the circumstances are very, very, very difficult. And the first three verses really kind of capture that and exemplify it for us. We find the writer of this psalm speaking with an almost beautiful, calm serenity. The way he opens the psalm, despite the fact that his circumstances feel like the world is falling apart. Look at these verses. He says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. But he describes how his world is feeling, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake at their surging. You see what he's saying there? He's saying it feels like the very environment I live in is disintegrating. And yet, we will not fear. God is our refuge and our strength. And this is why this is such a useful go-to psalm when you feel overwhelmed in life, when you feel, I cannot cope, I can't manage, I can't handle it, I can't deal with it, I can't face it. Because when it feels like the world is crumbling, God is our refuge and our strength. The image that the psalmist is using here is a very, very straightforward one. But we're going to unpack it just to make sure it's crystal clear. He says, God is our refuge. Later on in verse 7 and verse 11, he talks about God is our fortress. The image is he's describing God essentially as a fortified place where we retreat to when the battle is too difficult. In the ancient Near East, where this is written, there would often be fortified cities or towns with walls around them and fortifications. Sometimes they were placed high in mountainous areas to make them difficult to get to. But the key idea of a fortress, modern Europe, you know, medieval European, it's a castle basically by any other name, but there's various technical differences between them. But think castle, you're not going far wrong. Apart from one thing, the European concept of a castle was, I suppose I've started to finish, was to dominate the landscape. You go in, you have a castle, and it projects power over an area in the same way that a modern kind of aircraft carrier fleet does in modern warfare. That's not the concept that he's talking about here. He's saying God is our refuge and our fortress. What he's saying is he's using the image of not somewhere that you set up a military base so that you can go and attack and win battles. He's using the idea of a fortress, a stronghold, of somewhere you retreat to when you can't win the battle. And that's the difference. He's putting it in terms of when the enemy invades our land and when we know there is no point going out to fight them because we will lose. What you did in that culture is you retreated to the refuge. You retreated to the fortress, to the stronghold. Not so you could win the battle, not so you could succeed, not so you could even expel the enemy, just so you could survive. That's all you do. And the psalmist's image that he's painting here is one of warfare and under attack. We get that in a couple of verses, little hints that this is probably the situation he's facing is one of a military invasion into his territory. In verse 6, he says, nations are in uproar. The kingdoms fall, verse 9, he makes wars cease, the ends of the earth, he breaks the bow and shatters the spear, he burns a shield with fire. He's saying those things probably because what he's experiencing is people with swords and shields and spears and bows invading his country and they feel we can't. He may even have written this having retreated into a physical stronghold, a refuge, a fortress, because he knows we can't beat these invaders. We cannot face them and win. The enemy is too strong for us. So all we can do is retreat into the stronghold and the fortress. And perhaps even in this fortress, as the enemy besieges it, he's thinking, this is the only way we can survive is to stay here. And maybe in that situation, he writes this psalm and says, actually, God is our refuge and our strength. The Lord Almighty is our fortress. Because he's saying, physically against a physical enemy, this stronghold hopefully will do the job. But emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, in life, when you feel the world around you is disintegrating and you feel that you can't cope, you can't manage, you can't face it, you can't handle it, what the psalmist is saying is at that point, God is our refuge and our strength. God is our fortress and our stronghold. And all he's saying we do in those situations is hide in God. He's not saying God is our refuge and our strength. The Lord Almighty is our fortress. He's not saying God is our secret weapon to allow us to triumph, to allow us to overcome, to allow us to beat the odds, to win the situation. He's not saying there's a secret kind of Christian way of winning. He's just saying we are aiming to survive. And sometimes when you cannot cope in life, your aim is just to survive. It's just to get to the end of the day. Just try and do it again the next day. And that's the image. That's what Psalm 46 is all about. It's telling us when you can't cope, go and hide in God. God is our refuge and our strength. If we can get through the day, that is enough. If we can cope with not coping, that's enough for one day. That's where we're going. Do you get the idea? Okay, let's think about question number two. How does Psalm 46 help me cope? Psalm 46, this idea of God is our refuge and our strength. The Lord Almighty is our fortress. The way this helps us cope is it tells us that we need to deliberately shift our focus and our efforts to cope away from ourselves and our own resources onto God and to his resources. That's why it says God is our refuge and our strength. The Lord Almighty is our fortress. And we need to hear this because our culture says something very, very different to that. I want to put a little kind of parentheses in, a little brackets here, that someone said something to me a little while ago which was really, really interesting. I often stand up here and say, our culture says, but then the Bible says, and I kind of critique and contrast the two. I just want to make it really clear. I don't hate our culture. I don't think our culture's bad. I think like every culture, there's good and bad things in it. And one of the brilliant things about the Bible is it critiques and commends every culture. There's good and bad in every culture. So when I stand up here and do things like this and say, well, our culture says, but actually the Bible says, I'm not saying our culture is useless. I'm simply saying, whilst there are some great things about our culture, there are also some things where it leads us astray. Do you get the idea? Maybe I should have clarified that several years ago, but thank you very much to the person who said that to me. Why do you hate our culture so much? I really don't. I don't like the weather, but the culture living here, is okay. But on this point, it's wrong. The point is this. When we face difficulties and problems, what our culture does, and what by our culture I mean the kind of the mindset that we have as individuals that is kind of subtly filtered into us through all sorts of things, through the media, through conversations with people, through a kind of general worldview of people. What our culture does when we feel we can't cope is it automatically goes for the self-esteem booster. It automatically kind of goes to help us feel, you can cope. You get phrases like this all the time, and this may be what people have said to you, and it may be what you've said to other people when they're in this, I just can't face it, I can't manage thing. We kind of go to things like, come on, you've got this. Come on, I know you can handle this. You're a strong man. You're a strong woman. You can do this. You're amazing. I know you are so resilient. There's a real inner strength I see in you. And those kind of things are well meant and are sometimes nice to hear. Everyone likes encouragement. Everyone likes that kind of thing. But when we genuinely can't cope, I think those things are very, very unhelpful. Because what it says to me is this. You should be able to cope. I expect you to cope. You're strong. You're resilient. You've got this. And inside, I'm thinking, I have not got this. I have not got the inner strength you think I've got. I cannot handle this. I cannot cope. So we suddenly run into a situation where if all we've got when we can't cope, when we can't handle it, when we can't face it, is I need to look inside myself and find the warrior inside me, I'm in real trouble. Because sometimes that warrior's sitting in the corner crying. He's shivering in a blanket, don't want to face the day. What do we do then? Where do we go then? Culturally, you've got this, doesn't cut the mustard, does it? Which is why the psalmist is telling us God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though our world feels like it's disintegrating around us, the situation we face at work, the situation we face financially, the relationship difficulty, the health difficulty, whatever it is, there are times when actually the best thing to do is to say, I cannot cope with this. And to stop looking inside for the warrior, or whatever the female equivalent of that is. Just another warrior, I suppose, isn't it? I hadn't thought that one through in detail. And this is where I'm going to with this. If our culture says to us, you've got this, you can handle this, I know you can do it, I believe in you, and we can't, not only can I not cope, but I also feel like a failure. I feel like I've really messed it up. And in fact, for those of us here who are Christians and are aspiring to be disciples of Jesus, we've doubly messed it up. Because we think, not only should I be a warrior, but also as a Christian, I'm supposed to be able to deal with everything. So we just feel useless when we can't cope. It's a disaster. What the psalmist wants us to know is this. Our limitations, when we get to the point when we can't cope, when we can't beat the enemy, when we can't go on anymore, that isn't failure. That is a specific inbuilt design in us. We are not designed to be infinitely resourceful. We are not designed to be infinitely resilient. We are specifically designed and built and created by God. However you think he did that, we are designed by God to be finite, limited beings, which means every single one of us will run out of road at one point or another. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Why has he built us like that? He's built us like that so we don't think that I am my refuge and my strength, so that I am my fortress, so that I am the one that's able to cope. We have this deliberate design limitations to tell us two things. The first thing it tells us is this: I am not God. I know most of you didn't wake up thinking that, but often we act like that, and we have an expectation on ourselves that I should be able to manage. I should be able to cope. I should be able to deal with this. I should be able to face this. No. You shouldn't sometimes be able to deal with it, because God wants to remind you, you are not God. There's only one person who has infinite resource. There's only one person who's infinitely resilient. There's only one person who can deal with any and every problem in life. It's God. And that's the second reason he deliberately designs us as finite and limited and not able to handle everything, is so that it highlights our need for him, the real God. Because if you got up and every single day breezed through life feeling like a fortress, like a warrior, like your own refuge, would you ever turn to God? There's no need. Got it all here. All sorted. We are deliberately built finite to remind us that we need the infinite God, the God who is unlimited. Look how he's described in this psalm, in verse 7 and verse 11. It talks about him as the Lord Almighty. It's speaking of the omnipotence of God, the word theologians use to mean God can do everything. He is able to do absolutely everything. It talks in verse 1, doesn't it, about an ever-present help in time of need, because God is another omnipresent. He's always there. Wherever we need him, he is there, able to act. And the third one that theologians talk about is omniscience. He knows everything. You can't be in two places at once. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I can't handle most things in life. God knows everything, is everywhere. and can handle everything. And we are deliberately built finite so that we keep turning back to him, the eternal one, so that we constantly say, God is my refuge and my strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. The Lord Almighty is our fortress. It's a deliberate design feature, not a flaw when you can't cope. Every single one of us will run out of resources at one time or another. I guarantee you, however great you are, you'll run out of time, you'll run out of energy, you'll run out of motivation, you'll run out of patience, you'll run out of strength, you'll run out of perseverance. You're supposed to run out of those things so that in those times you hide in God. You turn to him. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Even if you're one of the rare few who breathes through life, always feeling that you can cope, A, well done. B, I promise you, you will get older and weaker and die. It's true. It's true. It's true. How are you going to cope then? How's the warrior going to deal with that? Imagine doctors coming over from your deathbed. Hey, you got this. Come on. God is our refuge and our strength. However capable you are now, there will be a time when your body is weak and your mind packs up and you need other people to look after you. It's not because you've failed. It's not because you're useless. It's because you are deliberately built finite, because you are built to know the infinite God. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Real resilience is not being a warrior. Real resilience is not building your own wonderful fortress. Real resilience is knowing that God is our refuge and our strength. Compared to God, the best of us, the most capable, competent ones, the people that you look at and think, life must be so easy for them. They're like sand castles. You know, they're like those walls that people build at the beach, you know, when the tide's coming in. Sometimes it's kids, often it's dads. Let's build some sea defenses. You know, and you build it higher and higher. If you're smart, you're going to build a trench to divert the water around the sides. I love it when you see guys and they've built the wall and they've also built an inner kind of secondary line of defense, you know, the keep for those who like kind of castle talk, those kind of things. But what happens? Well, I'll tell you, two things happen. A, you've built it in the wrong place, tide doesn't reach it. Well done, Dad, what a waste of time. B, if you've built it, and that analogy doesn't work for my talk, forget that. I only thought of that just now. The second thing that happens is the tide comes in. However well you've built it, however tightly you've packed it, however much you've cheated and put stones in it and then built the sand around it. What happens? The tide washes it away, it washes it away, washes it away, and it's gone. That is our resilience, that is our warrior, that is our refuge, that is our attempt to shore up life and cope. We need an infinite God, don't we? Okay, so number three, what does Psalm 46 tell me to do? Okay, we get the concept, we get the idea, we get the metaphor. What does Psalm 46 tell me to do? It's this really strange command, this instruction that's buried in verse 10, where it says this. He says, this is God speaking, he says, be still and know that I am God. It's a really weird command. Because again, what does culture say when you're struggling, when you can't cope? Come on, chin up, head down, press on, you can do it, you can overcome, you can handle this, you can deal with it. Psalm 46 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. The Hebrew word behind this translation has a variety of meanings. Sometimes it just means stop. Sometimes it means just let go. Sometimes it just means relax, drop it. The instruction is because God is our refuge and our strength. Sometimes we just need to stop. We need to stop. Be still. Okay, I can't deal with it anymore. I can't keep going. I can't keep pressing on. I can't make headway against this. I can't handle how I feel. I can't deal with the relationship. I can't make the money go any further. I can't solve the problem. The psalmist sometimes just says, be still. Stop. And hide in God. God is our refuge and our strength. He's where we go when we cannot beat the enemy, when we cannot win the battle. It's where we go when we just know there's no point trying anymore. We go to God. We stop and we hide. We need to accept we can't win. We need to accept that even though we can't win, we are still safe and secure in God. That's the paradox, isn't it? I can't pay the bills. The relationship's going down the pan. The kids are going off the rails. The health is falling apart. Work's a nightmare. But God is my refuge and my strength. I'm somehow secure. I'm somehow safe. Because this infinite, all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present God has got me. He will give you grace in the situation. Because God is your refuge and your strength. An ever-present help in times of trouble. Not an ever-present observer. Oh, I see we're in trouble. Good luck. An ever-present help in times of trouble. God will give you grace if you stop. If you hide yourself in him and say, God, it's your resources, not mine. Your ability, not mine. You are my refuge and my strength. He will give you grace. Sometimes the circumstances are transformed. And it's amazing and wonderful when that happens. And we love it, and God intervenes, and we go, it was falling apart, and God put it back together. What an amazing, beautiful thing. And there's loads of stories like that in this room, aren't there? That's what God does. But he doesn't always do that. But what he does always do is give you grace to cope. He gives you grace to handle it. Give you grace to put one foot in front of the other. Give you grace to keep trusting, keep believing, despite the circumstances not working out. We need this when we get old and die. One day there will be no more miraculous healing for you. There'll be no more doctors that can help you. Your body will be shutting down and your life will be ending. If you're just holding out for circumstance change, you're disappointed, aren't you? If you're holding out for grace to cope, then you will be met by the grace of God and sustained by the grace of God. That's why he says in verse 1, or maybe the start of verse 2, I can't remember, therefore we will not fear. When we be still and hide ourselves in God, there is grace that brings peace despite the situation. That's why he's got this calm serenity in verse 1. Despite verses 2 and 3, his world is falling apart, the mountains collapsing, the earth shaking, the seas roaring, everything falling apart. That's why he's got this calm serenity. God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear because he's found this peace that comes from stopping and being still and trusting in God. That's why it's such a crazy command, isn't it? Be still. Well, surely we've got to do something. No, just be still. Just be still. Just stop. Just wait. Just accept the grace of God. He's permanently available. Verse 7 and 11 both say the Lord Almighty is with us. Verse 1 talked about an ever-present help. God is there to give you grace, whatever you're facing. Do I qualify for grace? No. Goodness me, no. Do you qualify for grace? Of course you do. No one earns God's grace and input and support and help and peace in their life, but we get it when we come to him through faith in Jesus, which is the ultimate I can't cope. Salvation, giving our lives to Christ, is the ultimate I cannot cope with this. It's where we repent and believe, where we turn and trust in Jesus, is where we say, Jesus, I cannot spiritually cope in life. I cannot deal with it. My moral failings are too big. My hard-hearted resistance to God is too great. I cannot make myself into the person you need me to be. I cannot be kind enough, loving enough, faithful enough, righteousness enough, holy enough, good enough, even pleasant enough for you. I give up. Be still. I've stopped trying. I'm going to hide myself in you. When we give our lives to Christ like that, which is what becoming a Christian is, he comes to us and he meets us And from then on, the Lord Almighty is with us. God is our refuge and our strength. If you're a Christian here, you've experienced that over and over again, I'm sure. If you are not a believer here, if you're investigating the Christian faith, you're thinking about what it means to be a Christian, there's loads of stuff I could talk to you about historical evidence for it and the kind of the reasons why it makes sense as a belief system. What I want to say to you today is this: if you're not a Christian, one of the many great things about being a Christian is you've got resources beyond yourself to draw on. You can draw on the resources of the infinite, almighty, everlasting, all-knowing, ever-present God. There's other good things too, but that's not a bad place to start. Okay, fourth and final question. I've cheated on this one. I've done three questions within it. But it's last question is this: what does Psalm 46 not tell us? And I've got to do this because there's three things that I think we miss if we're not careful looking at Psalm 46 in this way and looking at this question of I can't cope. And I just want to rattle them off. The first one is this: we can't do everything. Now, I've kind of said this already, but I want to say it in a slightly different way, because there is a school of thought that would look at this psalm and say, God is our refuge and our strength. And then you'd kind of rush to quote verses like Philippians 4, I can't remember where it is, 13, which in many translations says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And this is a verse that's often quoted to mean, whatever it is you need to do, I can do it. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So you might even be tempted to say, yeah, he's my strength, he gives me strength. I'm facing an enemy, I just feel like I can't beat it in life. You may want to go for the therefore, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. I can cope, I can handle this, I can defeat the enemy. I'm coming out of the stronghold to fight them on the plains. It's not quite what that verse means. And this is why I'm bringing it to our attention. Philippians 4 verse 13 does not quite actually mean anything I want to do, I can do because God is going to give me strength to do it. The context is Paul saying whether I've got a lot of money or I've got no money, I can cope in that situation. That's why a lot of modern translations, or very modern translations, say I can do all these things through Christ who gives me strength. It's moving away from the idea that you can do anything you put your mind to in Christ, which is just another Disneyfied version of, you know, believe in your dreams with all your heart and you'll succeed. Good luck with that. It's not what it's saying. It's saying even, and there are loads of times when God gives us strength to deal with things and do things we couldn't do and cope and handle and all that. Of course that's true. But it is not a blank check. It is not an unlimited ability to do anything you want for God. You know, exhibit A, all the dead Christians over the last 2,000 years. We can't beat everything. We can't beat every enemy. There's a last enemy that faces us. Psalm 23 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's not saying I turn the valley into a wonderful place, cultivate it, overcome the darkness. It just says, even though I'm going through that awful time, God is with me. I don't need to fear. 2 Corinthians 12, or is it 9 verse 12? I can never remember. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, where Paul's struggling with his inability to deal with things. And God speaks from this and says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And Paul goes on to say, I'll boast all the more about my weakness so that the power of Christ is shown in me. It's not about triumphing and overcoming sometimes. It's not about being a good witness and showing that your faith means you can handle it. Sometimes it's just about hiding in God and surviving till tomorrow. When you can't cope, God is our refuge and our strength. He's not a secret weapon to win every battle. You understand the difference? Good. All right, I've labored that one a bit. Let's move on to the second one. This is a nice quick one. Being still does not mean being passive. When it says God is our refuge and our strength, I'm going to hide myself in God, does not mean I do nothing and just pop the telly on. Hiding yourself in God is not hiding yourself in Netflix. It's not just wrapping up with a blanket and a packet of biscuits. It might include that, but it's more than that. It's an active imperative grammatically. It's a command, an instruction. Be still and know, another imperative, that I am God. In other words, the writer is saying, when you can't cope, you need to stop and you need to know that he is God. You need to actively look for him in the difficulties, in the darkness, in the pressure, in the stress, in the situation. It means at a minimum you're going to be opening your Bible and reading the Word of God. It means at a minimum you're going to be praying and asking God for help. It means at a minimum you're going to be worshiping him as the infinite God who is your refuge and your strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. It is active, not passive. Hiding yourself in God is not the same as hiding yourself from God. But it's really tempting, isn't it, when we can't cope, to back off from God and to think, I'm just going to retreat into the comfort zone, into the safety zone. Or some of us advance into the battle warrior zone. But both are not what we need to do. Sometimes we just got to hide ourselves in God and say, God, you are my refuge and my strength. Let me know that. Let me experience that. Let me know that you are God and I am not. And as we change our mindset, a resilience grows in us. Third thing, here's the one that, again, if you've been around a while, you've heard me bang on about this before. But I bang on about it because it's relevant. We cannot cope on our own. Look at these verses that I've mentioned many, many, many times. And I just want to read them again. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Even the commands, the imperatives in verse 10 are plural imperatives. We don't do that in English. We just have one instruction, do this, whoever you're talking to. Lots of languages have, do this one person, do this lots of people. Verse 10, they're plural. He's saying, you guys be still, and you guys know that I am God. And the reason I want to hammer that point home is because our culture, with many good aspects to it, but also some negative aspects, is the most individualistic culture the world has ever seen. It's frighteningly individualistic, which means we are trained to unconsciously and automatically think totally and pretty much exclusively about ourselves as isolated individuals doing our thing, making our decisions, and that's how we view it. The Bible and a lot of the rest of the world is much more collectivist, which means, no, we understand ourselves much better when we think of ourselves as part of a people. We get our identity much better when we think of ourselves as belonging to a group of people. We get our meaning much clearer when we think of ourselves as a group of people. We get our security in a much stronger sense when we think of ourselves as a group of people. And the group of people that the Bible primarily talks about us being part of as Christians, for those of us who've trusted in Jesus, is the church. But our culture tries to instill in us this thing of, you know, it's just you, you're going to have to deal with this. I'm not going to do a hands up, but I wonder how many of us, even though we've read those verses over and over again this morning, have kind of unconsciously digested them as God is my refuge and strength. God is with me. I will not fear. He's my fortress. Some of you may have even kind of heard those words, even though it clearly says we and our. Some of you may have heard we and our and instantly translated into me and mine. That's what I do. That's where I go. And so the last point I want to labor here is this, is we cannot fully experience God as our refuge and as our strength, our fortress, our stronghold on our own. You are deliberately designed not to function in that way. You are designed to function best as part of a group. We need other people around us to support us, to love us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to pray with us, to help us, to comfort us. You're built that way because God wants us to be together. But it's really tempting when we can't cope. As well as hiding from God, we can hide from church. We can hide from each other, can't we? We can do it physically by just simply not pitching up. We can do it mentally by pitching up but keeping everybody emotionally at arm's length. You're not designed to function like that. Even if you're an introvert like me, you need people. We will never fully know God as our refuge and our strength. We will never fully know that we will not fear if we try and do it on our own. We need to share our struggles and our burdens and our problems with brothers and sisters who love us and care for us and pray for us and encourage us. It's how we're built, and together we look up to God. God is our refuge and our strength. an ever-present help in time of trouble. And he calls us to be still and know that I am God. And we are not. That is the beauty of this psalm, I think. And this is how it helps me. And I hope it helps you cope when you can't cope. Let's pray. Katie and the musicians as well, thanks. Lord Jesus, I thank you. You knew what it was like to be a human being, limited by design, unable to cope with everything. I thank you. You also know what it's like to be the infinite, unbounded, eternal God who is our refuge and our strength. I thank you through your life and death and resurrection. You can transform our lives and our deaths and our resurrections. I pray that you would help us to hide in you when we can't cope and to let you handle things when we can't handle things. We thank you. You're always there for us, always with us, always our refuge and our strength. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing just one more song just to help us really grab hold of these truths. If you would like to talk about this a little bit more, grab me or someone else at the end and we can chat it through. If you'd like someone to pray with something you're going through, whether or not you feel you can cope with it, doesn't have to be extreme. Hopefully some of the prayer team will be by the Christmas tree as well, and we'd love to pray with you then. Thank you.